97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
So I have a surprise for you, which is that we are going to be awarding $1 million to randomly to people who have signed the petition every day from now until the election.
Well, that was kind of an earth-shaking announcement from Elon Musk about giving away $1 million to people who sign his amendment. All he wants people to do is sign a document that says they support the First and Second Amendment. I would like our politicians to do that too before they're able to run for election. A lot of people are getting in a hubbub about Elon Musk's commitment here to supporting people who support the First and Second Amendment. And we're excited to bring our guest on with us. Will Chamberlain joins us once again, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. I encourage you to check him out on X at Will Chamberlain. Welcome back to the show, Will. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
So before I get to the Elon Musk part about this, I was peeping over there on your X profile, and it looks like you just voted today for Donald Trump. Is that accurate?
That is correct. In Florida, today is the first day of early voting. And so I, decided to brave. There was actually a significant line, oddly enough. The library where the voting station was totally packed.
Nice.
But I hung out for about half an hour, put my vote in. Keeping for Floridians, it's not just, you shouldn't be just voting for Trump. You should vote for Rick Scott and your Republican representative, but there's a couple of very, very key amendments you should be voting against. There's No on 3, which is the full legalization of marijuana amendment, which is just a massive handout to these businesses. And there's No on 4, which is the anti-abortion amendment. And I'm saying all this in my personal capacity also. That's an important qualifier.
Sure.
Not saying this on behalf of Article 3 Project.
Yes.
This is just me talking.
Yep, that's you. You went to the polls today, and those are the votes that you cast. I feel like the early voting thing is such a, this is, I feel like we're in such uncharted territories. There's not really a reference point in voting, American voting history for like, okay, in this state, the numbers look great for the early vote, the walk-in vote, the mail-in vote. There are all these different things, and every state's laws are very different. I'm just curious, from a legal standpoint, do you feel like the Republican Party has taken necessary steps to improve election and security and integrity in 2024 compared to what we've experienced in the past?
Yes, I think there's been a lot more aggressive litigation. I think both the Trump campaign and the party more generally have been a lot more aggressive about cleaning up voter rolls is one good thing, and doing other things to ensure election integrity. I'm confident that there will be, like, this is going to be a much safer and more secure election than 2020, for example. And also I think 2020 has a little bit of a one-off feel because it was mid COVID.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of new processes were put in place in states that didn't have it before. And I also am confident that there's also been a shift in Republican voter behavior. It seems pretty clear to me that a lot more Republicans are voting early, either by mail or in person, which is a good thing because it limits the extent to which Democrats can engage in election day shenanigans and sort of suppress the vote that way. That was a big part of their strategy, I believe, in Arizona, where you suddenly had places where suddenly on election day, the voting machines weren't working properly, and people were just being kind of either having to wait in line for hours or just, gave up and went home.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you avoid. If you just get your vote in, there's no way you're going to get victimized by late election day shenanigans that, stall you out.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And open voting now in Florida. I live in Illinois, so we've been voting for like 2 years and every week or something like that. I don't know. But here in Missouri, we're a red state. Illinois is a blue state. We're not swing states. I've heard from even people like Elon Musk, if you don't live in a swing state right now, you're pretty lucky because the inundation of political ads. I can't even imagine what it's like. Like, you probably like go into a bathroom stall in Pennsylvania and there's like a hologram of Kamala Harris being like, "Welcome to your bathroom. Glad you chose this one." It's super bizarre. And if you're in a swing state, you're going to be pressured everywhere you look, every time you turn around. Elon Musk is focusing in on Pennsylvania. It certainly is the avenue for Donald Trump to become the next president. It definitely goes through Pennsylvania. What are your thoughts on his America PAC, this ask of people to sign this petition that says, hey, I support the First and Second Amendment, and he's kind of created a lottery out of it where he's going to give away his own money in the event that somebody signs it and becomes the lucky person?
Well, I think it's sort of indicative of Elon's understanding of how to get earned media. I think there's probably nobody better at it in the private business world, because think about it this way. Tesla doesn't advertise. It's the one car company that you never see car ads for, and yet they're one of the most popular brands in the world. He does it with his Twitter, word of mouth, but he understands like how to get attention and use his money to get attention. So he's basically circumventing the normal way of getting money through, you know, promoting your brand. Like, he's not running ads for America Pack. He's spending his money, giving it to supporters, and using that to create media that just gets him coverage.
True. That's
anyway.
A great point.
So it's pretty smart.
Yeah. I'm wondering about the, there's been a lot of legislation, or not legislation, a lot of rulings, maybe some executive orders from a governor, like in the state of Virginia. And then there's court responses to those types of rulings across the country. You, Will Chamberlain, being a senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, I'm not 100% sure how much you key in on these specific cases in specific states. But where areas are you watching closely right now as we get, we're 15 days away from the conclusion of this election, we hope, on rulings that are being made, governors who are trying to make things happen, state courts that are trying to adjust how states manage these elections. Do you still feel like there's something up in the air in any of these particular states that could help decide the election?
I mean, I don't, not off the top of my head. I don't have, you know, I think most of those have been, and also I don't think there's a huge amount of litigation going on right at this moment that's going to be impactful, right? Like, most of these issues get settled kind of months in advance, and especially since we're not repeating 2020 where you have a whole bunch of last minute rule changes. I don't see that as being a huge thing. I think it really is, you know, people need to get out and vote, right? Like,
yeah.
And don't let anybody try and demoralize you or say anything about like, oh, this, you know, we're doomed, blah, 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 because, you know, they'll just rig it. Like, no, go vote. And I think a big way that people need to think about it is like, to the extent that Democrats cheat, they can only cheat so much. Like, there are still real paper ballots out there, right? There is a limit, and there's so much history and historical numbers for various places. There's lists of how many people are registered in your given district. So it's like there's only so much you can do. And so by going up and showing up in force, you essentially defeat the margin by which anybody could cheat.
Yeah.
And not get caught. So yeah. that's why I think, you know, whatever your worries are, go vote. We'll deal with the worries after.
So, Will, I want to talk to Will Chamberlain, the voter, once again, since you cast your ballot today in Florida. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I remember reading a tweet from you that referred to yourself as an undecided voter. And I'm like trying to remember if that was satirical or if you actually.
It was satirical. It was definitely a joke.
Okay.
Right. Because the meme is this, that if you say you're an undecided voter, your opinion matters more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
that's
like,
exactly
if you
right.
Just say, as an undecided voter, I really think that Kamala Harris screwed this up.
Yeah.
it's a wonderful way to get a lot of traction.
It stuck in my head.
Because, you know, there are plenty of Trump supporters who got up, good for you, I'm glad to see you're on our side. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I know it's a joke. But,
well, it made an impression on me. We put up, after the vice presidential debate, CNN had this panel of seven undecided voters. And it was the funniest thing that I've ever, I mean, I was like doubled over laughing at these so-called undecided voters. That then I'm like, the second I saw them, they weren't undecided. I know exactly what each of those people
right.
are doing. And, you know, I feel as though the undecided vote that does exist, if it does exist at all, is people who are trying to decide if they're going to vote. Maybe they've been disenchanted by Donald Trump. Maybe they've believed a lot of what the media said. And I feel as though a lot of people are looking at Donald Trump right now and they've at least got an eyebrow raised as to whether or not what they've been sold on for so long is actually a true and accurate assessment of who Donald Trump the man is. Your encouragement for people to show up and cast the vote, it's not so much a coronation of an individual, but the direction, the path that we have going forward in a Kamala Harris presidency versus a Donald Trump presidency are completely divergent paths. I don't even know if there's an intersection between the two of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I worked for Governor DeSantis in the primary. Like, I was on his campaign. I wasn't supporting Donald Trump in the primary. I support him now. It's not, and I don't even consider it a close question. I think that, you know, I see occasionally some like DeSantis people saying, I'm writing him in or I'm abstaining. It's like that's a very, very, you know, whatever, you know, it's your ballot. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, God, how dare you? But I think it's silly. If you're actually a conservative, like, you got to understand that, you know, the red team is the conservative team. Like Democrats under Kamala Harris will do all sorts of things to make your and your family's life worse, and to thwart the achievement of any of your policy goals. And it's not, you know, the idea of hoping for something in the future that may happen if, you know, no. Like, vote Republican, period, up and down the ticket. And that's, you know, that's my personal, in my personal capacity. That's what I'd say to everybody, regardless of you, if you voted for Trump in the primary or not.
Yeah, I've been team Ron DeSantis from COVID as a Midwesterner watching what he was willing to do in Florida. Literally, my husband's a school teacher. They opened Florida. I think it was on like June 3rd. They're like, forget about this. We're opening up. Florida is open for business. I live under the J.B. Pritzker rule of tyranny, and he was going to Florida when Florida was open. And I'm like, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. We got four kids, threw the family in the car, went to Florida and lived like normal people. And it was so bizarre to do that again. And that's what really drew me into Ron DeSantis. I have no conflict supporting Donald Trump, and I cannot wait for him to win this election. I want to ask you, as somebody who worked on that DeSantis campaign, how do you feel? I'm not going to ask you specifically about the presidency, but how do you feel about Ron DeSantis' future in American conservative politics, knowing that he's termed out after this second term of governor?
I think he's still got a very viable future. I think, you know, he's still a very popular governor in state. He's still got a big national brand. And he's young. He's only in his mid-40s. So, you know, there will be opportunities for him if he wants to be a senator, you know, like this. When a Senate seat opens up, he'll be if he decides he wanted to run for that, he'll be a very formidable candidate. I can see a world where, I mean, it kind of depends on, you know, what happens in this year in terms of like where Republicans are. Because I think in a world where Trump wins, I think J.D. Vance is obviously in the in the Capert seat, or, you know, in the in the driver's seat for 28. But I think he's just going to be a formidable candidate for president down the line. I mean, you know, when will he be 65, 17 years from now? That's a long time.
A few cycles.
And that would be your sort of 65 would be your default, like, average presidential election age. So he's got a lot of time, and he's very smart, very capable. The governance of Florida has been top notch. I mean, he's also transformed this into a red state. Like, you know, 8 years ago, this was a swing state that Trump won by 0.5%. DeSantis himself only won his own race by 0.5%. You know, 6 years on, he won by 20. And most people don't think Florida will be even competitive.
Yeah.
So he's done a really, really good job here, both for Floridians and for the Republican Party more generally. And I think he's got a very bright future ahead of him.
I agree. And I think it's such a key to realize how strong the Republican Party is and diverse in you know, way of thinking in conservative politics, Republican politics, whatever that may be, knowing that Donald Trump has been supported by Ron DeSantis since Ron DeSantis has dropped out. For anybody who's listening right now and they're holding their nose on Trump because they liked somebody else, go vote. Just go vote for Trump. You'll be setting the party up for success for years to come. Will Chamberlain, thank you for the time today. We're always grateful for you. Thank you for casting your vote today. And we look forward to getting some results here in a few weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. It's good to talk to you. Will Chamberlain, the senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. You can find him on X at Will Chamberlain, or go to article3project.org and get involved in the process of supporting people who support your freedoms and your rights and liberties here as Americans. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ethan in for Wiggins America. And last time I think we established an Ethan Wiggins America is taller and handsomer than I think that's what Ethan said. Better looking and younger and taller. I don't know. Maybe if we pressure Wiggins like this, he'll stop taking days off. Maybe not. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.